Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Could you really wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer. I am joined by my co-host, June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Hi, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Jason Mantzoukas is away shooting a movie, so he is not here for this episode. He may be here for the next episode. We don't know, but we have 2 stellar guests sitting in his place. Please welcome Natasha Leggero, who does her own hilarious podcast, The Lavender Hour.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And we also have Gil Azari, who is now a new writer for Happy Endings, the hit ABC show.
It's a hit. Maybe.
I just watched it because I've heard like 5 people tell me Casey's so amazing, so I've been watching the show, and she is.
She's unbelievable.
The whole show is funny. The cast is an amazing
everyone's
cast.
Great. Everyone's
yeah,
great.
No, it's great.
So watch it next season and then think to yourself, I listened to him and now I understand his writing on the show. You got to pick out the episodes.
Yeah.
This is a fun game for the viewers at home. all right. So the movie that we talked about, the movie we watched this week was The Tourist, the Angelina Jolie, Johnny Depp movie.
Vehicle.
Yeah. Which I'll let them explain the movie a little bit. Here we go.
I fell in love with a criminal 2 years ago who disappeared.
Didn't we all?
And we all did, as you do. Paul has been heading the
investigation
to find the criminal. I decide to use Johnny to trick Paul's character.
This is exactly why she chose him, to distract us.
He's hurled into this incredible world of intrigue and espionage.
So now that sounds like a moderately interesting movie. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the movie is. This movie is bad. It's really bad, right? I mean,
I don't know what that look is she has on her face. For the entire movie,
she looks like she's in like a perfume ad the entire movie.
I thought she was doing an impression of a European the entire time.
How do you want me to be?
Exactly.
What do you want from me? What do you think a dangerous woman would have for breakfast?
It was like
she's like Hannibal Lecter.
This movie is kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock seen through a guy who only saw a poster for like Charade and been on a lot of Match.com dates. They're like just bad like dialogue scenes.
Well, the crazy thing too is like I would, if you told me that Angelina Jolie and Brett and Johnny Depp were going to be in a movie together and there was going to be a romance, like I'm so on board for that. I've never seen two people who are this attractive have so little chemistry.
But have you
on
seen?
Screen? Like, yeah. Did they have any? There was
none. They had nothing. They almost hated each other.
Yes,
it was like an Israeli and a Palestinian. Like that's the chemistry they had.
And didn't it seem like he had no charisma or something?
None.
It
was he was very well in this bizarre, world. In this world, Johnny Depp is ugly. Yes. That is the yes. runner of this movie.
He's a math teacher.
$20 million worth of plastic surgery. Yeah. Landed us there.
Oh, don't spoil the ending just yet.
I was like, how are they going to, like, how is Johnny Depp going to be believable as a nerd? But he was disgusting. And, like, so unlikable. It feels like they woke him up right before each
yeah.
scene.
He had, like, puffy face.
But it was still hilarious that, like, whenever Angelina would go into a place, she'd be like, this is my husband. And be like, this gross person.
He's still Johnny Depp.
I also love that every time Angelina walked anywhere, like, the service people lost their minds.
Yes. Is it because she's a spy or because she's so beautiful?
Because she's so beautiful. I think it's because she's so beautiful.
I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I had to watch this movie in 13 sittings.
When she walked into that ballroom, everyone was like, oh my God.
Well, the other thing was, all right, so the whole premise of the movie is Angelina Jolie is protecting her boyfriend who's a criminal because he stole money from the mafia or whatever.
And I had no idea that's what that was.
Yeah, that guy, that weird Russian guy that they're running from. And so she takes Johnny Depp on because her boyfriend's like, find someone who looks like me and then we'll trick them. And then the twist of the entire movie is Johnny Depp is actually her boyfriend with extensive plastic surgery.
$20 million worth.
But yeah, that's how the movie ends. Like, that's the face that you got for $20 million. Oh,
but what about that underwear model that she saw at the buffet table at the ball? Wasn't
he
that
was
him?
A guy that Johnny Depp was just texting to make show up at certain places to appear to be her boyfriend.
It was so convoluted and stupid. It made no sense why he would be like an idiot for the entire movie.
And
because, wait, was he trying to figure out, now I'm trying to understand this actually, was he trying to figure out if she really loved who he really was without all the accoutrements?
No, but the guy that he really was sounded like a disgusting guy. He's like, the Alex Pierce I know had stained teeth and smoked cigarettes and it was shorter and had a weird forehead. It was like, well, that guy sounds really ugly and weird.
Yeah, I love that part where he's like, you moved your forehead up. Like, that was part of the thing. Like, it was like surgery was he moved his forehead up.
He moved his forehead and then you think that Johnny Depp is bullshitting when he's like, because basically Johnny Depp comes to Angelina Jolie's rescue. And you think, oh, he's like pretending to be Alex Pierce, this, you know, this bad guy. And he's like, your voice sounds different. He goes, voice chip. Like, that's like a real thing? Like a voice chip? And then you find out, like, in the real world, it's like, oh, he's pretending. But then when you find out, like, 5 minutes later that it's real, it's bullshit.
How about that opening scene where she's reading the newspaper in her evening gloves in the morning?
She had gloves on the entire
time. She had a lot of gloves on.
And then she reads a letter she wants to burn, burns it with the candle that's at the table in the morning, and then walks away.
And then the FBI guy has some sort of crazy puzzle a machine where you can feed in burnt pieces of paper.
That was the most complicated puzzle I've ever seen in my life. And he was in 2 minutes.
They cut it together like it was this unbelievable action sequence.
It was
the most tedious thing I've ever seen.
Basically, the idea is that she rips a piece of paper, she burns it, and then puts water on it. And then they take those watery pieces of paper, bring them to a lab,
scan them,
and then they're able to read the writing on it. But it's a huge puzzle. And he only reads the parts of the letter as, like, that are, like,
as the plot needs.
As the
basically.
Plot needs it. He's like, oh, just figured this out.
But what's so amazing, like, just hearing us talk about it, you would never know that it was nominated for 2 comedy awards in the Golden Globes.
Yes, it was nominated for best
musical or comedy.
Well, it's so funny.
There's no jokes in it, are there?
Not a one. And I remember listening to Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes and thinking, this is really cruel and uncomfortable, and I take all of that back.
Oh, well, he made fun of the tourist.
Oh, yeah. Big time. He, like, went after it. But it's all deserved.
He said the only movie that didn't have 3D was The Tourist. No three-dimensional characters or something like that. But this movie is even crazy, too. Like, there's that one shot in the beginning where there's, like, a bunch of spies that are always in a van or a boat that has a lot of surveillance equipment, always on Angelina Jolie. They're like, what is she wearing? And they go, underwear or no underwear? And then, like, they zoom in on her ass, and the guy's like, be professional. And then the actual director of the movie just follows her ass down the street for a long time. What is that?
And you have to understand, everyone she's talking to, she's just doing the longest eye fuck. You know that thing, like when she's ordering her coffee.
And she's that voice is, she's like super trying to be so sexy.
Yeah. Frank.
Yeah.
How are you, Frank?
Don't and that ask accent, a woman I mean, that what she wants
terrible.
For dinner.
It was terrible.
She's doing this like really intense thing and he just is like nothing.
Yeah, he's just like plopping around, literally saying dumb lines. Like his character who doesn't know the language says things like, instead of buongiorno, he says bon jovi. Bon jovi.
He felt to me like a sitcom character. Yeah. Like it was like, it's the tourist. And he would like do stupid shit.
Like Balky from Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, it was Balky. It was exactly Balky.
Yeah, it's true. Because looking back, it's like, why did he not know how to speak Italian? Why was he speaking
in the
Spanish?
Moment where he's not moment, with her?
Yeah,
you don't need to fake it.
Yeah. You don't need to.
Yeah, that was the thing. He kept up his character so well that he, even when she's in bed, he's reading like a dumb American spy novel, like going back to his bookmark.
Or when he falls in the fruit stand, like European fruit stand, and then he's like, lo siento. He's like talking Spanish. Like, what are you doing?
And then the whole movie is basically like, this guy, Paul Bettany, is chasing him. The whole movie, because he stole money from a gangster. And then at the end, he leaves the check for the money that he stole for the gangster, and like,
The check for $744 million. Like, who writes it? It's like some clearinghouse check. Ridiculous.
And they're like, we don't need to chase him anymore. Like, then why were you chasing him in the first place? Like, what did this guy do that was wrong? And also,
no idea.
Another twist in the movie is that Angelina Jolie, who you think Scotland Yard is chasing the whole time, is actually a member of Scotland Yard.
Mm-hmm.
That was another twist that went nowhere.
I didn't get that part either.
I have a big question. What time period? What if you had to put a year to this motion picture? What year are we in?
Well, they had electric cigarettes from like the past two years.
Yeah, so electric cigarettes is like the big invention of it.
Because that's what Johnny Depp is smoking until he lights
up. Can I get a number?
Well, the 2010, right?
Well, they were trying to play some like old school movie, but then they were like,
yes, that's what was so strange. I mean, there were balls and swordsmen. And
then, he was a swordsman. He was like, he's just a swordsman, a local swordsman. Like, what?
But then I like how the train was like so high tech. Every time I see a train that's like in Europe, it's like built by Skynet. It like it's like flying at 500 miles an hour. Everything is pristine.
But the boat chase sequences were all happening like at speed limit.
Yes,
they were not fast.
I read
boat
about
chases.
It on Wikipedia, and it said like that they that Venice has like laws against like driving your boat too fast. So they were like on set all the time, police officers making sure they were
going so slow.
So slow.
The slowest boat chases in history.
Didn't this movie make a lot of money though?
Did it? You did some research on that, right?
I from what I understood, it made more money for. It's the highest grossing film that Johnny Depp's ever been in, besides The Pirates of the Caribbean.
Crazy.
See, I think people were tricked because it looks like, oh, this could be a good movie, but really, when you cut down to it, if you took out all the sweeping shots of the cities and like the silences and the sighing and the pregnant pauses, the movie's like 20 minutes. It's like there's just a lot of just like, I'm on a balcony looking out. I'm over here. I'm wistful. It's like
a great travel brochure.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes you want to go to Venice.
And ride on a train.
It's like the director was like, I want to make a living postcard. Like, that's what I want to do. So boring.
All right, so how much was... I have the stats right here. So how much was the budget? Anyone have a guess for the budget on the movie?
Well, their salaries alone. I mean...
Take a guess.
$50 million.
Okay.
No, I'd say more. I will say like $85 million.
Okay.
I'm gonna go around like $75 million.
$100 million dollars.
Whoa.
And then how much money did it make?
$2 million.
Okay.
I mean $200 million.
All right.
$200 million. I don't know. I have
know.
No idea.
Yeah,
no.
$50 million,
you want to try it?
I would say like $300 million.
Really? Yes.
$292 million.
Oh my god. That movie made
overseas, a shitload
of money.
Overseas.
It has to be all overseas.
Oh, because everyone just wants to see those stars.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. There didn't need to have any plot there. Oh my God, that's crazy. That movie is a huge comedy hit. That is the biggest comedy hit of 2010.
Oh my God.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that, and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And then I also love this movie also with all the bad guys where they'd speak in English for the entire time, and at the end they would go like, they'd speak in their foreign language and it'd be like, understand? But like, it was like, but they spoke in English the entire time, but then one word is just in a foreign language.
I like how they were like, maybe like 30 accents within the first 5 minutes. They were like, yeah, we need to shove Europe down people's throats, like right away.
This is different. This is very different.
Europe. It's Europe.
Even when they got the bicycle messenger guy delivers a package to Angelina Jolie, and they grab him. He's like, oh, I'm Algerian. And
there were strange cuts, though, in this movie, too. Like, when Johnny Depp is pulled into Italian jail, he walks in, and there's this, like, beast of a man there. Mm-hmm. And you think there's going to be this, like, some sort of a scene.
Nope.
Between them, you cut to the next morning.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened.
No, they set up these giant scenes that never pay off.
That's right.
Or it's like, all right, we're going to attack them at the train station. Then the train pulls in. No, don't attack them. And everyone leaves. This is a constant like, hey, you're going to get raped in this jail. Like, oh, no, you're not. It's fine. He just went to sleep and you're nervous.
It is. Everything's a letdown. Even that last scene, the action scene with just like four sniper shots or whatever.
Right. Simultaneously hitting everyone.
Like, and then that was it. That was the end of the movie.
They're being bad guys. Every bad guy is standing in front of giant plate glass windows at the end of the movie. And that's the whole tension is, will they take the shot or will they not take the shot? And then they eventually take the shot.
Do you guys think that, like, a director is just too intimidated by those stars to give them direction? Like, to tell Angelina Jolie to, like,
yes,
tone it down? Well, like, it's just, like, it's that was the worst acting I'd ever seen in my life.
I will tell you that we knew one of the stunt guys who's one of the bad guys in the movie, and he told me that Johnny Depp would say often, like, you sure you want me to do this? And they would be like, he's like, yes, yes, you need to do it. And he's like, I know what you want. It's not going to work. And he'd be like, nope, do it this way. And they spent 2 days, 24 hours, shooting that scene in the beginning where she walks like through that little...
train?
That, like the little train, like where she's walking that little plaza. Two days, because he wanted to get it just right. There's no dialogue in that scene.
It was pointless, too.
Pointless! Well, she's also, like, really manipulating this guy. Like, this guy, she sets him up to be killed. Like, he's in his hotel room. They think he's this guy, Alex Pierce. And then, you know, Johnny Depp, who is Alex Pierce, then has, like, this really sloppy fight scene on the top of a building because you think, oh, he's just
PJs.
A dumb American tourist.
Mm-hmm. Striped pajamas.
But he's not.
He's
a criminal. Like, he shouldn't be fighting the bad guys. Like, oh, I don't, never threw a punch.
But the same goes for her. She's really, like, this, I guess, detective or cop or whatever she is. And then she shows no skill, though. It's like she does show up with that boat, but then when that guy tries to jump on top, she just takes a life preserver and, like,
it's like everyone plays it. It's like everyone plays an idiot for, like, and no one tells anyone it's a trick.
Nobody has any skill.
The most elaborate plan of all time. I also like the idea that they reiterate the premise about 90 times in the movie. Like, literally, she reads a letter, and it says, I'm going to be on the train, look for someone my height and size. Then, 3 minutes later, you hear the voiceover of her reading the letter again. It's like, yeah, we got it. It's a change of scenes. Now she's on the train. She's going to find that guy. And then later on in the movie, it's like, she tricked us. She found a guy his height and size. Looks like that guy. It's not him. And then, like, later on, it's like, what happened? Well, here's the deal. You were tricked. You were the same height and size. Like, we get it. We get this.
It's like the dialogue they do use, they waste on repeating them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then there were just strange moments. Like when the interpreter arrives in the van during the last, like, action sequence.
Yeah.
The Russian interpreter, because they're speaking in Russian, he comes in, puts the headset on, listens for a second, and then says, give me some context. Just do your job.
That guy looked like Latka. He was so weird. He came in. That was Balky.
That was a total Balky. Because he was so like, and he goes like, and then he's like, he doesn't understand Pierce. That was his big miscommunication. He's like, Alex Pice Pierce. He's like, oh, Pierce. Like, that would be the one thing that, as a translator, you would understand, because there's no changing of that. If your name is Pierce in American or Russian, it's always Pierce.
I remember reading on the Wikipedia page this morning that when they announced it as best acting in a musical or comedy, the whole boardroom just started cracking up. Like, they just said there was an eruption of laughter, and everybody on the Golden Globes board just started laughing.
It's crazy.
Well, because it was nominated for a drama, and then the director said, no, it's a comedy. So the director...
Is it a comedy? Because Johnny Depp is so like, I'm Frank Tupelo, the school teacher.
From Wisconsin. I love, too, that scene where they're at the ball. And
the bull.
And they're about to leave, and then the dance number starts.
Yes.
Why do they have to start dancing?
And why do they know how to, like, step with everybody else?
Because it's 2010, and everyone goes to bowls.
Everyone goes to balls, and everyone has done this choreographed dance. Again, Johnny Depp's character, who's never danced. Oh, that's the big moral of the movie, that he starts to smoke again. Like, smoking is good. Like,
instead of electric cigarettes.
He goes to real cigarettes. Like, way
that's
to go.
Like the character progression of, like, we have to go from, like, electronic cigarettes to regular cigarettes.
But I'm confused. Did he know he was the other guy from the beginning?
Yeah, he was the other guy.
He knew that.
Well, he had to know.
Well,
that.
He's the
he
guy.
Knew himself.
If he got plastic surgery.
I'm not good at plot-driven drama. Especially when it's like I wasn't dumb enough to sometimes movies go over my head because I don't understand how that could
possibly be.
It makes no sense.
It
makes no sense. It's like, he was always Alex Pierce.
So he was never a math teacher.
No.
No, he's been the bad guy the whole time.
You're totally
time.
Right not to get it.
Yeah, so you should not understand
his
it.
His wife never died in a car accident.
Yeah, he's been her lover.
Did Angelina Jolie know that he is not a math teacher?
Only at the end when he opened up the safe.
So she thought at the beginning that he was her ex.
No, no, no. Oh, no. She thought that he was a mask.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And then he got plastic surgery.
He got plastic surgery.
$20 million worth.
But why else would I?
20 million. What do you do? What's 20 million? What is
I
that?
I really want to get into that number. I want a breakdown. I want a breakdown of what that gets you. An like itemized receipt.
I want to get into that
that's
number. Ridiculous.
That's how much it costs, like, build a building. That's not like. What is that?
He got his forehead moved. His forehead is different. And a voice chip. That voice chip must have been at least $5 million. The voice chip that only apparently changes his voice from American to British, like a British accent. That's about it.
And well, they made it look like Johnny Depp after surgery.
Also, this movie made so much money that it's probably going to be a tourist too.
Oh my god!
So maybe
god,
we'll
I
get into
so,
the
yeah.
into his plastic
just get
surgery.
It. His doctor was very happy. Oh man!
I love the scene too at the very end where the Russians are threatening to kill her unless she tells them where the safe is.
And she looks all ravaged.
Like, yeah, she looks ravaged. Oh. But it's also like, why don't they look around for the safe if the safe is just in that room?
Yeah.
Like,
he goes, is it behind
place.
This bookcase?
Yeah. And it was like a huge insignia that was like obvious there must be like some kind of safe.
And then the best part is when they take the knife and they're about to cut her and they put the knife right to her lips, like mm-hmm. right to Angie's lips, as though we all know watching this. That those are $1 million lips.
Well, he goes,
please don't touch those
not her lips.
First of all, it's like the bad guy from RoboCop or like Beverly Hills Cop who's like, you will find that being an ugly woman does not benefit you. Like, he's like, that's his whole thing. He's like, I'll make you ugly and then men won't tell you that your order is a great choice. Like, that's really
that
what
was
like,
crazy.
Like, great choice on that order. Great choice.
Oh, and he was mad because the waiter didn't say his choice was great.
Exactly. What movie is this?
I don't know. I'm actually really confused. I know I brought this up before, but what was the end game for Alex Pierce? He was confusing her because he wanted her to know the real him?
I don't know.
Gil?
I have no idea.
That he was down to earth? Which he said is the best compliment any American.
Right.
Oh, first of all,
that's so stupid.
No, we have to do the scene.
The scene is amazing. If you guys remember it, do it. I can only.
Okay.
I remember a little bit of Johnny Depp's lines in that.
So you have to. Well.
He goes
go
like.
Go ahead, Natasha.
Do you remember Angelina Jolie's part?
Yes. Or,
all right. Well, you do it. You do whatever you remember. I can fill it in if you don't.
I am. You are. What does she say? He's down to earth?
He goes like this. He goes, yeah, the greatest compliment people give in my country is you are down to earth. And that's the highest compliment. And then...
Oh, and then he tells her she's the least down to earth.
Yes. Yes. And he goes, he sees her on the balcony. He's like, you are the least down to earth person I've ever met.
Go to bed, Frank. Is that what she says?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then she kisses him. And she kisses him really hard on the lips. And then sets him up to be killed in the next scene.
How is that the compliment that is told to people in America?
I've
like
never
that's
heard
the
that.
Number one compliment.
That should have been her
down
first.
That's high
idea.
Praise.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
And also
everyone's telling people that here.
Also, is she not down to earth though until that point? She's pretty all she does is like just it's like a
she
bad
is wearing
version
evening
of my
gloves in the morning.
I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14-karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right, quince.com/bonkers.
The most sexy scene is a scene where he's having a dream about, or I guess like she's getting undressed in her outfit, and he's putting on his PJs. Like, he's wearing, like, these, like, old man pajamas, like, out of, like, a 1950s movie, where he's like, all right, June Cleaver, I'll see. Well, he's got to read his book. But he. But the sexiest scene is like, then he has a dream that he breaks into her room and then kisses her on the lips. And then he's woken up by food service.
That's the comedic part. That's the comedy.
And their kiss was kind of gross.
It was.
It wasn't even hot. Like, you just kept worrying about that lipstick getting in.
What about his, like, he grabs her hair? Like, it was like, so aggressive and, like, I hate this.
And, like, he put his hand, like, through that, like, thatch. And was like, all right, come here. Really crazy.
I just think it's disheartening that something that bad made so much money.
$300 million.
Like, because then they don't care. I mean, there's no incentive to make something, make a movie that makes sense.
I guess not. Yeah. Well, I mean, how about that one thing where he is in, Johnny Depp is in a boat surrounded by Scotland Yard agents. There's about seven of them in a boat, and he escapes from being in the middle. Like, he is in the middle. He's like literally in a circle of Scotland Yard agents, and then like they're like, oh, well, I guess that happened. Wait, where did the Frank Tupelo go? He just picked his...
On a 5-mile-an-hour boat.
Yeah. He picked his handcuffs and then immediately jumped up on the side of the building and crawled into the window. It's like, no one heard that? No one saw him leave? No one saw the handcuff guy in the middle of the circle get up and leave? Oh, man. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
I love his stationery, though. Alexander Pierce's.
Yeah, it was very... Well, that was the Swordsman's stationery, probably.
Oh, you're right.
The Swordsman was like, hey, look, this guy just texted me, told me to show up, and he goes, really? You trust strange texts to just go anywhere? And the guy's like, not anywhere. Like, oh, if it was in, like, Canada, he'd be like, no. But if it was in Venice, I'll do this.
How intense was Paul Bettany, too? He was, like, so crazy to me.
I don't understand what Paul Bettany was so worried about. Like, what was the goal of getting this guy?
That was
there
weird.
There was no goal.
They had set up some backstory, like he had personally been burned or something. Mm-hmm. There was no incentive.
Paul Bettany's like, you went deep undercover for 2 years, and you didn't even get us a usable picture. For what reason? Because at the end, the old James Bond, Timothy Dalton, who's in the movie as his boss, is like, who gives a shit? Like,
they don't know.
Who cares?
How many days, like, how many man hours do you think Paul Bettany's character put into putting that letter back together?
for real?
Yes.
He was in front of that computer the entire time just putting it back.
I know, but that was like a 2-day process.
I also like the one weasel that they don't even... There's a weasel in Scotland Yard. It's like, hey, oh, that's what Alex Pierce looks like. He overlooks somebody's shoulder and sees like a picture of Johnny Depp and then immediately walks into another room and on his cell phone is like, we got him. And like calls the bad guy who's mid-air, like in an airplane. They have no problem with cell service in an airplane.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, great. Turn the plane around. We're going to Venice. What do I own in Venice?
Yeah, what?
What do I own? For what reason?
Why?
Like, what? You just go to a hotel. Like, what do you own?
I want to stay on my farm. To make any sense. And they all had different accents on the plane, too. Like,
yes.
Some of them were Russian. The main guy was like, had an English accent. Oh, it didn't make sense.
How about that suit scene? There's a beginning of that suit scene where it's like he's getting fitted for his suit. And it's like, how does this look? Is it too loose? And then it's like, and then they cut away, and then it's like the guys come into the room, but it's like, just like a little moment, just a moment of this guy getting fitted for a suit doesn't really play into anything more, because in the next scene, he's also in that suit, and then he strangles some guy to death.
It's so funny if you track that guy's character, it's like, what do I own in Vegas? Oh, in Vegas. What do I own in Venice? And then they cut to him just trying on a suit. Like,
it's too wide.
I own a suit tailoring store. That's where I'm going next.
Well, I'll get some suits while I'm there killing people. And he also says, he goes, when someone crosses me, I kill them, their wife, their children, and sometimes their family doctor. Their family doctor? What? Why is that guy going to be brought into the mix?
I felt like he missed some steps, like their friends, their neighbors.
Maybe it was supposed to be a comedy.
Maybe.
And imagine like you playing the Johnny Depp.
Right.
Like,
then maybe it works.
It's Johnny Depp. Just it doesn't match.
No, yeah. Frank Tupelo, man.
He's such a suave character that we just don't buy it.
Oh, well, here's my issue.
Not that you're not suave.
Paul. No, I take it. My issue with Johnny Depp is one, when he plays an American now, I don't believe it anymore.
I know, because we know he lives in France.
Yeah, and the same thing. looking for Angelina Jolie. Like, I don't believe that she's not British, even though that British accent is really bad. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's just
she
another
seems like
world.
A robot.
So we went to you guys that are listening, and we said, come up with a better title for this movie. Now, these are some of the titles.
You've Got Mail.
John Hamilton came up with North by Northwest. Patrick Moore came up with Frank? Question mark. Of course, there were just the simple ones, which were just things like the Snorist, the Borist, and the Turdist, which are all pretty good. There are multiple ones, so I don't want to equate those. But I think the best one that we got was from Ben Levine, Mr. and Mrs. Who Gives a Smith. Now, those are the best titles that you guys came up with. All right, so final thoughts on The Tourist. Anything that we didn't cover, anything... Any lasting impressions that you guys have?
$20 million for plastic surgery.
That's how the movie actually ends, too.
Yeah. That's
they're
the last
on a
line.
Boat. They're on a boat, on a sailboat. Paul Bettany watches from a window from afar, and she's like, that's what you got for $20 million? Like, oh.
Which is also, like, it was just a weird ending.
What would you guys, title this movie? If The Tourist, I don't think, is a good title. What
I'd rename it Slow Boat. That's just to me a summation of what the movie is.
Do you have anything, Jude?
Oh, God. Electronic cigarettes, lips, and split ends.
Natasha?
Chemochemistry.
Well, that is it. That is another episode of How Did This Get Made. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Jason Mantzoukas wishing Scott and everybody else of all stars and stripes a happy 15th anniversary, Comedy Bang Bang. You goddamn did it. Eat shit. Hang on, man. Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang.